We've been talking, right, about the Beatitudes, and we've been talking about the first four, the last 4 weeks, and these four really deal with our relationship with God, right? And so we talked about what it means to be poor in spirit, and we talked about those who mourn, and we talked about the meek. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to sit through a lot of these sermons because I've been downstairs with the children's ministry. I did hear Matt's on the meek, and I thought it was awesome how he, you know, said, hey, being meek is really about being confident enough in our strength, really, to be gentle and to be kind and to give ourselves over to God, right? So it's not that we're lazy and weak, but it's that through our power we can, give that to God. And then last week Mark did Hunger and Thirst for Righteousness, and I got to tell you, I came up kind of at the last second, and all I saw was like this cooking show. So it looked amazing, but I'm not really sure what that was all about. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. But right, we want to thirst for righteousness. We want to be able to really seek after God. It's something we physically have to do. It's not something that we can just kind of sit around and let it happen, right? We got to work towards it. So now we're moving into the next four. And these deal with our relationship between ourselves and everyone else, the people around us, our neighbors, our family, our friends, our coworkers, our church body, right? The world in general. And so what we're going to talk about today is mercy. Or actually, better yet said, being merciful. Because what I'm going to share with you guys today is there's kind of a little bit of a difference between having a heart of mercy and being merciful versus just every now and again showing some mercy, right? And what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 5:7 when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." He's talking about us having a heart of mercy, always seeking out ways to be merciful, always looking at the world through merciful eyes, through God's eyes, right? So before we can get too far, we have to ask the question, what is mercy, right? Because I think in our culture today, you know, this can mean a lot of different things, right? We see mercy given, you know, at court. We see maybe a debt forgiven, and so that's mercy. We see somebody, act in anger and the other person not really respond, and that's mercy. And those are all really great examples of mercy, but that's not the end of the story. Those are just examples of what should happen through a merciful heart. So what really is mercy? You know, a lot of us kind of grew up with kind of this saying, grace is receiving what we do not deserve, and mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. That's true. It really is. But again, that's not enough because it's so much more. Mercy is about action. And that's really what I want to talk with you about today in these few minutes that I have. I want to show you and share with you what it looks like to act merciful, okay? So in James 2:15 through 16, and I'm just going to read this. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but then does nothing, does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Okay? This is really powerful verse here because how many of us do this? How many of us kind of look out at the world and go, "Oh, I feel so bad for it," you know? And we're like, "Hey, you know, have mercy on those people." And maybe we'll pray for them. Maybe we'll every now and again donate to some charity, which is all good stuff. But is that enough? Because what God is wanting from us is to actively participate in being merciful. He wants us to be out there clothing and giving food to those who need it. He wants us to be accepting those that need acceptance, right? He wants us to actually go out into the world, meet people where they're at, and bring him into his loving grace so that they can have God's mercy, right? So it's interesting because God has set the example here for us, right? Ephesians 2:4 says that God is rich in mercy. Think about it. We have been given eternal life, right? We have been adopted into the house of God. I mean, this is kind of amazing, isn't it, people? Yes? Thank you. Thank you. Just making sure. I mean, you know, I think it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I love my family and all, but the fact that I belong to God's family as well is just sometimes awe-inspiring. So God is so rich in mercy. And all that he asks in return is that we kind of let some of that mercy, bubble out of the cup that he's pouring into. And he says, you know, accept my mercy and be merciful because of it, right? So Titus 3:5 says that mercy is that he saved us not because of righteousness, of the righteous things that we had done, forgive me, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter 1:3, he says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And this is really interesting to me, because what we also find then is that mercy is hope, right? If there was no mercy, we would have no hope. And so if we're not showing mercy, if we're not living a merciful life, there's no hope for those that we encounter, right? We're not showing them that hope that we've found through God's grace and mercy, right? So mercy is hope. It's the promise that our sins have been forgiven. It's the promise that no matter what, that even though we know there's no way we can ever be good enough to make it into God's arms, that we don't have to be good enough. We just simply have to accept him. And there's hope in that. And so our job, again, is to show this mercy and share that hope. Let other people have the hope that we have found by watching us live merciful lives. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? I mean, it's just kind of one of those verses you're like, yeah, well, you know, why is this even in a sermon? It's like cliche, but it's not. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Okay, we could do a sermon on this every single Sunday and it shouldn't get old, because this is the story of how our faith came to be, right? This is the story of our Creator coming down to earth and saying, hey, you know what? I don't have to do this, but I created you, I love you, and I'm willing to do anything for you, even though you don't even know who I am yet. I'm going to do this for you so that you do know who I am. 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have love. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, right? Jesus came to earth knowing what the price would be. He came down to show us mercy, knowing that we would not return the same, right? He knew that he would have to become a sacrifice, that we would betray him, that he would be crucified and tortured. But he was willing to do this because of God's love, because he understood that mercy is action, and that through that action there is hope. Okay, so if you haven't figured this out yet, mercy's not easy, right? It's kind of hard. We don't like it. We don't like it because it means that we have to die to ourselves. I was talking with my wife just earlier this week and realizing that I am constantly fighting. It seems like whatever I lock onto, I want to find something wrong with it, and I want to go fix it. And I might even be coming out of a good heart. I want to fix it, right? But what I realized was I'm spending way, way too much time basically puffing myself up by going, well, they're doing this wrong, and they're doing that wrong, and this needs fixed, right? And that's really where a lack of mercy comes from. It comes from pride. It comes from us not wanting to die to ourselves. It comes from us not being willing to say, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I'm not as important as I think I am. Or, even better, maybe these people around me are so much more important than I think they are. So, what does being merciful look like? Okay, there's a few points here that I want to touch on as we go through the rest of this sermon. And these should kind of correlate to your outline. I tried to take marks and match it as close as possible. So these should kind of fit, hopefully. But the first point I want to make is, if I am merciful, I'll be patient, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Patience, again, like mercy, it's hard. We get annoyed really easy, right? We're like, oh, that person annoys me. I don't wanna deal with them, right? Or oh, that person is just so hard to be around. I feel drained after I've been around them, right? We all have those kind of friends or coworkers. But what God is asking us to do with a merciful heart is to be patient with them, to love them where they are at. Not try to change them, not try to address it, not try to ignore them, but to simply build a relationship where they are at. Be patient with them. And through that patience, set a higher example. If I am merciful, I'll accept people different than me. I think for most of us in America, this is kind of an easy one, at least at the surface, to get, because, you know, we're a pretty diverse group of people. And so we understand, you know, different cultures, kind of. And we at least want to kind of respect those cultures, right? But Romans 15:7 says, accept one another in the Lord as Christ has accepted you. So here's the thing. It's one side of the coin to say, hey, I understand, you know, you can have your beliefs over here. It's another to accept those people that have those beliefs. All right, and I'm not saying that you know, there's multiple ways to get to God or anything like that. This is, you know, not what I'm saying at all. There's one way through belief in Christ Jesus. But our job is not to simply point out what we see is wrong in the world. Our job is to accept and love the world, right? And so being merciful says that we're going to look at everybody that we may or may not agree with, and we're just going to love on them, okay? We're not going to sit there and try to solve their problems or fix them or tell them why they're wrong. We're just going to love on them. And it's through that love that they will then start to see the truth, right? Anybody have, you know, remember when you were a kid, or maybe even, you know, married and you're in an argument and, you know, your parent or your partner is, you know, trying to get a really important point across to you that you really do need to know, but because it's in an argument, it kind of, you know, goes right over your head because you're just angry and you're not going to learn it even though you need to. So same thing when we approach the world that way and other people. If we're just pointing our finger at them, it's going to go right over their head. But if we can build relationship with them, if we can accept them where they are at right now, and then again, like I said earlier, start building into them a relationship and showing them an example of a better way of doing things. Let them see our love. Let them see our mercy. Then they will desire to change. But if we just start pointing our fingers, they're not ever going to want to. They're going to point right back, right? If I am merciful, I am quick to forgive others. Forgiveness. We all like to hold on to our anger. We like to hold on to our hatred. It makes us feel good, so we think, right? In the end, it actually doesn't. It holds us up. It keeps us up at night. It ties us in knots. But we are so convinced that if we let that go, if we let our anger go, there would be an injustice, and we don't like to see injustice, right? And so we hold on to it for all it's worth, believing that we are right, and that's the end of the story. There's nothing more we have to do. We're right. Who cares? Let me tell you right now. Take a deep breath. Okay? In and out. Just let it go. It's so much more peaceful. Do this not only for the other people, do it for yourself. Because I will tell you, you can waste years of your life holding on to grudges. I've talked to people and even been in cases myself where I've been angry for so long, I don't even remember why I was angry, but gosh darn it, I'm angry, I'm going to stay that way, right? So just let it go. You know, being wronged by somebody is difficult. It hurts. But here's what being merciful means in this case. We understand they're human too, right? We understand that we've made mistakes. We've needed people's forgiveness. So why can't we give it as well? And if we always look through the eyes of the other person's perspective, it becomes a lot easier to forgive because we're going to see that person as one of God's creations, right? We're gonna let ourselves die and we're going to say, you know what? I'm not as important as I think I am, but more importantly, they're more important than I thought they were. And for that reason, I'm going to forgive them. But this is a lot easier said than done, right? I mean, anybody can kind of stand up here and talk about, oh, let's forgive somebody. You know, let's just sing kumbaya. That's not how life works, right? Because when we have been wounded, we want justice. But here's the reason why we can forgive. God has already given justice, right? He's given justice to us, and we were saved because of it. So let God have your back. Let God protect you. Let God handle dishing out the justice as he sees fit. And instead, yourself, just bask in the glory of knowing that you have the almighty, loving creator fighting for you. So it doesn't matter what some human being does to you, because you've got the support of God. So ultimately, who cares? Let it go. Forgive them. Maybe God has a bigger plan for them that they can't fulfill until you're able to forgive them so that they can see God's love and grace through that forgiveness. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgave you. This is Colossians 3:13. If I am merciful, I will help those who are hurting. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can they love God? How can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I'm going to read that last part again. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If we lived by that sentence right there, can you even imagine what kind of world we would have if we as Christians just followed that one verse and nothing else? Okay, one more time. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We like our words. We can sit wherever we want and speak as much as we want, right? But the minute we start thinking about having to act, right, it gets risky. It gets a little scary. But again, we've got the Creator at our back. We can do whatever God's put on our hearts to do because he is right there supporting us, giving us the authority, giving us the resources, giving us the skills and abilities to get out there. We have them already, whether we know it or not. We have everything we need to fulfill this verse. But we sit. I know I do. I sit a lot. And I look out at the world, and I hurt for the world, and I wish the world was better, and then I sit some more. When are we as Christians going to stand up? And this doesn't mean, you know, getting political. This doesn't mean, you know, picking a token kind of topic that we want to point at and call it sin. This means standing up in love. This means going out into the world and sharing the gospel. This means going out into the world and caring for it. This means finding situations that might be awkward to us at first, that might feel a little uncomfortable. But you know what? That's when God works, right? He works through us when we're the weakest, because that's when we have to rely on him. That's when we have to say, hey, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. But see, he's commanded us to be merciful. And he's given us lots of examples that part of being merciful means helping those in need, helping the hurting, helping the poor, helping the children, right? This will look like something different for each one of you. That's the amazing thing about this, is God's put on your heart a desire that he wants you to fulfill. So it's up to you to kind of, you know, sit down for a minute only and pray and get on your knees and say, hey, God, you know, you've put this desire in my heart. Now help me fulfill it. Don't leave it here just burning, because it's starting to hurt. So let me get out there and light the world with this desire you've put on my heart. Let me show mercy to the world. So John Wesley says this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Do all the good you can for as long as you can. That seems like a pretty noble call. Sounds tiring, though. Sounds really tiring. But you know what? That's okay. We're not perfect. This is a two-sided street. We show mercy because we've gotten mercy and we'll continue to get mercy. So God is not looking for us to get it right every time. He's not looking for us to never make a mistake, right? The point of show mercy so that you can receive mercy doesn't mean if we mess up one time that we're out, you know, he's kicking us out the door. No, because we love and belong to the family of God who is a merciful God. So he understands. And this is why there's a big difference between simply showing mercy and having a heart that makes you merciful. See, showing mercy is just really another form of judgment, because we get to dish out who we want to show mercy to. Well, I'll show mercy to this person because I kind of like them, and yeah, so you know they offended me a little bit, but that's okay because they're a friend. But I'm not going to show mercy to my boss because he annoys me every single day, and there's no way I'm ever going to, you know, get over that. So in essence, we've used mercy to judge, and we've judged somebody worthy of our mercy and somebody else unworthy of it. This is not what God's talking about when he says, show mercy. And this is why he says, be merciful. Because if we have a heart that allows us to be merciful, we look at the whole playing field through the eyes of God's mercy. We look at every single situation and we say, how, Lord, am I supposed to show your light in this situation? How am I supposed to be merciful here? It doesn't matter if we like the person. It doesn't matter if we hate the person. It doesn't matter if we don't know the person. We are looking at the world through the eyes of a heart of mercy. We are constantly in a state of being merciful. And that is what allows us then to reach out into the world and show people God's love. So, last one. If I am merciful, I'll do good to my enemies. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that, right? So what Jesus is really requiring of us is to love the hardest person you can imagine loving, is to show mercy to that person who you think you could never forgive. But I think it's almost hard for us today to understand loving our enemy, because how many of us really walk around going, oh yeah, that's my enemy. Oh yeah, I'm at war with you know, that family over there. You know, we don't really operate, most of us, in you know, the sense of having actual physical enemies anymore. So to bring it kind of down to where we are at, to how we look at things, you know, don't use the word enemy. Just think of somebody that you really don't get along with, Think about somebody who has hurt you. Think about somebody who has betrayed you. Think about somebody that has created such a harm in your life that there's no way you feel you could recover from it. That's the person God wants you to forgive. And guess what? The minute you forgive, you'll recover from it. Because as you continue to hate your enemies, as you continue to withhold forgiveness, as you continue to use mercy as a form of judgment, your life will be in knots. You will constantly be in pain. You'll constantly be, like I've noticed I am, fighting every single battle in front of you. Even things that shouldn't have to be battles, right? My job's a battle. My friends are a battle. My business is a battle. And then I'm like, I'm tired of battling. So I'm just going to be merciful instead. Continuing with loving your enemies. And God doesn't just want you to love them and forgive them. He wants you to actually do good to them. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Okay, did you get that? He, God, Jesus, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Why can't we be? Why aren't we? Why is it so hard for us to look at this and go, well, we shouldn't. I mean, we don't even want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But if God is inviting these people into His fold, if He's saying, I love you, not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, but because I just love you. Now, there's a story. There's a worthy life if we could learn to live like that. So, when mercy seems impossible, I want you to remember two things, okay? When mercy seems impossible, remember, God is merciful to me. Think about the worst thing you've done or the worst things you have done. Maybe they're not that bad, but it doesn't matter because that sin separated you from God and He gave you mercy. He gave you mercy that cost Him His life. So when you can't just in your heart forgive or let something go, remember that God gave His life to show you mercy. And then remember, you're going to need mercy again in the future, right? At some point, you will need it. And, you know, it's actually harder to ask for forgiveness and to accept mercy when we aren't giving it because inside we feel like a hypocrite. And so we start just holding on to our own hurts and our own sins against other people as well because we don't feel like we can ask God to take those because we know that we have not shown mercy ourselves. And so let it go because you will need somebody to do the same for you in the future. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy trumps judgment. James 2:13. So this is what I want to close with today. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Every single time. So if you want to win, if you really, really want to win the battle that you're fighting, if you really want to stick it to the person that you're mad at, show them mercy. Right? Don't show them out of that attitude because then that kind of avoids the whole thing. But really understand that every single time, mercy will triumph over judgment. People learn because of second chances. People learn because of third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances, right? society has moved forward because people have failed and tried again, failed and tried again, failed and tried again. This is what actually allows process, progress. So if we are so caught up in having to judge people, judging even ourselves, that we're too afraid to move forward, then we're, well, stuck. So let's not be stuck. Let's show mercy instead of judgment. Let's live a merciful life. Now let's go with God. Thank you, guys. Does the worship team want to come up while I pray? Clapping, wow, nice. Let's say a quick prayer while the worship team comes up. Lord, again, thank you for this morning, and thank you for bringing us all here today and letting us fellowship and enjoy your word together. I ask that you keep us refreshed the rest of this day, and let us wake up tomorrow remembering that you showed us mercy, and let us not just remember that, but let us be eager to share that mercy with the world through living a life that is merciful, Lord. Just make this a desire that is so uncontrollable, we have to do it. Don't let us get away with sitting back down, God, but keep us standing up. Keep us motivated to see the world as you see it, to see each individual as you see them, as a gift, as a glorious being knitted together by you. Lord, help us to see each person this way and to treat each person with the respect and the mercy that you give them. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.